Welcome to another episode of the Redeemed Man Podcast. The goal of the Redeemed is to provide a supportive community where all men can open up about challenges, worries, and failures, and celebrate their triumphs over those struggles. We hope you find this episode informative, relevant, and most of all, inspiring. Enjoy. Hey, it's Nate, and we are back with another episode of the Redeemed Man Podcast. And today I have a very special guest with me. Jake Keg. Jake is originally from a small town in Pennsylvania where he played soccer and ran track. Then Jake went on to school at Eastern University near Philadelphia, where he continued to run track. He also serves as the Intercollegiate Studies Institute president and studied political science and biblical studies. That sounds like some big important things, Jake. Jake met his wife, Abby, while studying there. And they've lived in Georgia and now reside in the great state of Colorado. And Jake loves to rock climb, hike, hunt, and he's been known to play a round or two of golf as well.
Absolutely. All the Colorado things. Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Jake.
Yeah, thanks for awesome to be here. Yeah, stoked.
Well, we're going to jump right in. And the first thing I want to ask you is, what does redemption mean to you?
Yeah, I would say redemption to me is the phrase of being paid in full. So, you know, when Christ took on that cross for us, he paid my past, current, and future debts in full. He bared that burden in a way that I couldn't have redeemed myself. I couldn't have bought back my sins myself. Redemption to me is, you know, the sacrifice on the cross, paying my sins in full, current mistakes and future mistakes to come.
Yeah. So Jake, I know your story, but our guys listening probably don't know kind of how you came to faith. So I would love to know how that redemption unfolded in your life and how you began to realize that Jesus had taken that place for you.
Yeah. So I grew up going to church a decent amount. My mom tried her best and my dad tried their best to get me to go to church. You know, I drug my feet a lot of the time, but it really kind of came to fruition when I was in middle school. I had a holy encounter while I was at church one day, and it just felt like the presence of the Lord was there. It was almost palpable in that place. But I was so young, I really didn't understand what that was. So that was probably around, honestly, like 7th and 8th grade. Yeah. At that point in my life, church was a little more hit or miss occasionally because it was kind of my choice and I didn't really choose to go but time to time, you know. But as I entered like my high school years, I had a really cool interaction actually. So my picture of redemption was given to me through the life of my uncle. He had some issues going on back at home. And this is when I was little. So this is all unfolding as, you know, I'm growing up. But God's timing was just perfect in that sense, you know. But so he had some issues with like alcohol abuse, drug addiction. He actually ended up, he had a newborn that was sleeping in the bed with him. He ended up rolling over on the newborn in his sleep and the baby ended up passing away. Well, in light of that, he ended up going to Arizona, fled, tried to run from, you know, the grief and the guilt and the shame that he was feeling, and ended up in prison in Arizona for what we believe was probably like a drug issue. But this point in my life, this is where I'm starting. So fast forward, like it's like a Christopher Nolan timeline here. We have to go back to before, you know. So it's like, so go forward. I'm, you know, in middle school. I start getting letters from my uncle while he's in prison. And this was really cool. This is like the first time this has happened because I had no memories of him really at all. And he starts explaining to my mother and I about how he had found Jesus while he was in prison. And just said about, you know, the redemption that he felt, you know, he was a new man made anew by Jesus. And he ended up doing well, getting into a halfway home. And he was writing us all this time, you know, and, after we got, there was a brief period of silence. He ended up back in prison. He had a little relapse. But he wrote us in that time. He was completely transparent about it. Yeah. You know, I made a mistake, but God is still good.
Yeah.
And I'm still pursuing that. So he then, actually got out of the halfway house, was good to go. He went to San Diego to live for a bit. However, unbeknownst to us, he was actually living homeless out there. However, the last letter I got from him, before he ended up passing away in San Diego, was about how he did a mission trip to Mexico to serve Jesus and help the people in the community that he was with down there. And honestly, for me, that's where it clicked about the Lord's redemption. It does not matter, you know, mistake, you know, God loves us and he's constantly pursuing us. And he said, I love you so much that I'm going to pay this in full. It doesn't matter what you did. You are made anew because of what I did on the cross. And my uncle's story really helped me see that. And that really changed my life. It wasn't just a church thing or a youth group thing, which was fun when I went to, but it was life altering redemption. So, yeah.
Well, Jake, that story of your uncle is so encouraging. And yet at the same time, it's one of those things where it's hard to believe that a homeless uncle living across the other side of the country by sending letters impacted your life in Pennsylvania. And yet that is such a story of God's grace and goodness and mercy and his pursuit of us and his pursuing you and desiring that relationship and placing things in your life to pull you and draw you to himself. And that is one of the things that just continually amazes me, is that oftentimes we go, oh, I need to reach somebody for Jesus. And the reality is we need to share that Jesus is already after them. He's already pursuing them. We just need to be sensitive to the work that he's doing. And so love that story about how your uncle's life impacted you. Not only did it impact your salvation, but talk a little bit about how it impacts your purpose in life and your pursuit to serve those who maybe are in similar situations as your uncle.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. So I'm really big, and I've mentioned to you a couple of times, that I'm really big into, you know, prison ministry. Like, I love trying to donate time where I can there, homeless ministry. Like, I love that. So obviously that comes from where my uncle's situation was. However, I think it honestly propelled me in a way to really live out my life day to day. Like you were saying, like, God is already in pursuit, you know. I don't need to try to justify why someone should believe in Jesus. I just need to show love and just love them as best as I can, because that's what the Father wants.
Yeah.
And that kind of motivated me in a way to start studying, you know, biblical studies in college, because that wasn't like a predetermined decision. That was, I got there and I kind of thought, you know, I think God is putting this on my heart. And I needed the fundamental theological background, because I honestly didn't spend too much time in scripture.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to study it. I didn't know, you know, when to study, or, you know, there was growth there. There was some disciplines that needed to be learned. And I'm thankful for good mentors that really have helped that. But my uncle really just showed me through those letters that, you know, our time is numbered. And the gospel was worth so much more than really anything else we're doing. Whatever job you're in, whatever profession you're in, it you can still be such a light. You know, you're not just an employee working at some business organization. You know, you are a child of God, and he puts you in that situation and that circumstance for a reason. And honestly, just thinking about how God used my uncle in that circumstance to go help and serve others, I was like, honestly, I have more, you know, monetary backing, more, you know, things than my uncle did, and I'm doing less than he did for the kingdom. So that was like a wake-up call to me, and it was so motivational that, you know, it doesn't really matter, you know, blessed are the poor, you know, for, you know, it was just such a beautiful thing, and it had God written all over it. It really did. And, you know, I know that he's rejoicing in heaven right now, and he realized, you know, when he got there, it was so worth it, and none of his past sins mattered. He was in the glory room with the Father. So, yeah, that just kind of motivated me and propelled me to a way that I never saw my life going at all. So,
and how old are you now, Jake?
I'm 25, I think.
Yeah,
25.
So, just 25. Your wife. How long have you been married now?
Ooh,
Let's see if we get that. Yeah. You better get this one right.
Yeah, I know. She's definitely going to listen to this and be like, she'll bring it up too. A year and a half. Getting 2 years this June.
25.
Yeah.
Married a year and a half. And yet one of the things that has always been so encouraging as I've gotten, had the opportunity to get to know you better is just that, that depth of pursuit of the Lord and then that firm foundation that you and your wife, Abby, have. And, you know, you guys, I met you when you were here in Columbus, Georgia for a brief season, and now you're on in Colorado, and just seeing how God was working in your life as newlyweds. When we first met you, you're just married, and how much you guys are purposeful in the things that you do and pursue in your life. You both have, I mean, Abby works as a nurse, busy career. You have a busy career. You guys are very busy, and yet you prioritize the things of the Lord, from serving with students and small groups with students to having and hosting small groups in your home. You've served with the Redeemed and leading some small groups there in Colorado Springs for us. Can you talk a little bit about how you got plugged into leading a group and then what you've seen and how that's impacted you? Because I think a lot of people go, man, I could never lead a small group for guys. And here you are, 25, newly married, moving to a different state, lots going on in your life, and yet you're able to give your time and help invest in other men.
Yeah, so I think I kind of got plugged in, obviously, with my relationship with you and being in that group while I was in Columbus Online, yeah. You know, and there was an individual who was actually where I'm at now. And I remember him calling in and, you know, still making that effort to have that. And I remember we had a conversation about me, you know, continuing a group out there, you know, and I really felt it on my heart that the profession that I'm in and going into this season, I felt like God was calling me to lead more.
Yeah.
In a way, just so I could grow, I could build community, and then not only to do that, but try to make disciples then, because in my profession, you know, people go all over the place all the time, right?
Yeah.
But my goal is to make those individuals better than myself, so then they can go and maybe start a group for the Redeemed and wherever they go next, and just be a leader. But as far as for people who would say they would never lead a group, I would say, never say never, obviously. That's, you know, a cliche quote,
yeah.
But also trust that God is going to put it on your heart, and then understand that whatever he puts on your heart, when he starts a good work in you, he will bring it to completion.
Yeah.
My issue that I had sometimes leading is like confidence. Like I was like, I don't know enough. I'm not old enough yet. You know, I'm not able to lead these men in a way that can really bring fruit. However, God completely dispelled all of that. He's like, no, you can be a leader. Just lead with love, compassion, and integrity, and allow these guys to open up to you, be intentional with you, and watch what I can do in that. So a lot of it for me, if you say never, like, just watch what God can do through you. It's amazing. You know, he has far greater plans than we can ever imagine for ourselves. And the guys that I met out here, like, they're amazing, you know, and just being able to connect with people, walk through life with people, even if it's someone that leaves your group and you shoot them a text and you just have a full conversation and just see how God is moving with throughout everybody in your community, those guys in your community, you know?
You mentioned your growth. So talk a little bit about how it's helped you grow, but then also maybe there's an incident where you can share without using one of the guys' names, but kind of a story about a guy who plugged in and how it benefited their walk with the Lord.
Yeah, 100%. So how it's helped me grow, wow, I mean, that is where I am now compared to where I started the group has been a drastic change. And, you know, you don't often see the things that you're necessarily bad at until you're put into a leadership role or a role where you have to sacrifice a little bit. So through Redeemed, the Lord has showed me that, you know, if I sacrifice and make time for guys and be intentional with them, like, it means all the difference in the world for, you know, others. It showed me that intentionality is everything. And especially when you had a long day at work and you don't feel like having group and you come back, you order 4 pizzas and you get like 5 bottles of soda and guys cancel last minute. It happens. You know, you eat the pizza yourself and you drink the soda. That's all it is. You know, the Lord will provide. I didn't have to make dinner that night. Hallelujah. You know, and just seeing, you know, sacrifice some in those type of circumstances where it seems like there's bearing no fruit, like God is moving. He's moving in those lives. And if I had to say about a certain scenario, I definitely think of an individual who was here for a very brief time in my group. He ended up moving back on the West Coast to do law school. And I remember we did a book about purpose-driven life, purpose-driven life, because purpose is huge for us, you know, especially as men, like we are driven by purpose, whatever that may be. And he bought into that book and bought into the conversation more than anybody. And he often told me when we would like meet up at work for lunch or something, he would always talk about how that book, and he would quote the book and say, like, this was really good. I needed this in this moment. And I'm like, you know what? Why am I out here trying to get obviously you want to bring more people in and help change lives that way. But like, that made my year. One guy changed by this group. You know, that is God's plan coming to fruition through somebody. And we're still in contact. Like, it was just so awesome for him to be so happy about this community that he had found. Yeah. And it was just so cool to see God continue to work through him.
Yeah. And not only is God using you for the guys there, but we had a guy connect to one of our other online groups who's there not far away in the Denver area that you're going to be able to connect with in person. And I think that's the beauty of technology today, that we can connect in all different places around the world. We had a guy who was for a brief time deployed in Poland, and he was jumping in our group. And there's just seasons in life where we know we need community, and to be able to have that opportunity to jump in and plug in online is amazing. Because one of the things that I think is so cool to see is, because of technology, we're able to connect, but then build relationships that honestly can surpass this medium. So we've got a guy who leads a lot of our online groups in Iowa. He'll be down for one of our events. We're planning an event there. And yet he and I have never met each other in person. And yet we have a great relationship. We're able to encourage each other, able to talk about God's word. And that's the beauty of the kingdom of God, that it really does surpass all mediums. Like God is so much greater than this. And yet he gives us this, that we can utilize it for good or for evil. And the cool thing is at Redeem, we've had an opportunity to really be able to redeem this medium and allow men to connect in an online format, but also in person, like you're doing there in Colorado Springs. So that's so cool to see what God is doing in your group and through you. And I know that there's so many things ahead that God is going to use you for, to impact guys, but also young men and you and your wife, other couples. I'm so thankful for the way you sow into the kingdom, and just honored to be your friend and hear about those stories. And thank you so much for all you've done to encourage guys to lead groups. In your personal life in this season, there's a lot going on. How do you keep the main thing? What are the ways that you've built in disciplines in your life that allow you as a young man to keep your way pure, to stay focused on God's word, to stay focused in community, to be transparent with other people, and to keep, you know, your marriage fire burning? You know, I know it's just a year and a half in, but it still takes a priority to communicate. I mean, I know with y'all's schedule, you probably have to be very intentional about what that looks like. So I know that's a lot I asked, but how are you in your life growing and keeping the main things the main thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that is a question that I was really asking myself at the beginning of the year. How I keep the main thing is by a little discipline, a new little discipline I try to do every week. Whether it's, at the beginning of the year, it was really making time for God's word and doing that as soon as I wake up. I roll over, get on, the YouVersion Bible app. Yeah. I'm up there. I'm reading my Bible plan. And then I moved on to journaling, even like expressing how I feel towards the Lord. What am I walking through this week? What am I struggling with? Bringing that to light with the Lord, because he already knows. I just want to confess and be open to him about it. So those two things were huge for me. Cause you know, I am busy, right? But I have made it a priority before I work out, before I, you know, go to work, I will put God first, because I find that I can do my job a lot better, have a lot more patience when God is the center and he is the first thing I do in the morning. And then obviously get coffee, because that helps, you know, the Lord has just been so good in showing me what I'm not very good at, like that, like intentional time. Because in my head, I was like, I need to read, you know, 40 pages of scripture. I need to read for at least 30 minutes. You know, everyone thinks that, but it's like little discipline at a time will go a long way, because you build then healthy habits. And building healthy habits is how I kept the main thing so far. As far as my marriage right now, it's the Lord has been so good in it, because, you know, I don't get all the time in the world at home that I would like, but being intentional with that time, dinner, walking, we like to play pickleball, you know, that's how we get all of our disputes out, is on the pickleball
court. I would think it'd be the opposite. They would start at the pickleball court, but that's where you guys resolve it.
Yeah, it's resolving. Yeah, it started in Columbus, and you know, it's, we preach by it. If we ever wrote like a marriage book, that'd be like the thing. Play pickleball, do something, you know. But just really pursuing God together too, yeah. Making him the foundation of our marriage. Because yeah, like you mentioned, we do hold a group in our house, and it's a marriage group. And it's like, how can, you know, we lead on Tuesday night, Wednesday night? I have the Redeemed on Thursdays or Fridays, and then work. How does that fit in there? How do we spend time just knowing and growing together? And it's been, you know, whether it's talking about our devotional, talking about how God is moving in our lives, like, and how he's answering our prayers, on maybe a separate note, like with regarding work or certain relationships in work, talking about that. And just being open to talking about the bad stuff that might be going on in our lives, but also seeing how good God has been,
yeah.
Has been such a good practice for us. Just being so thankful, because we really are so blessed. The Lord has continually allowed us, revealed in us, things that we need to work on. And it's all, she always would always say, like, I need to work on this. And we're like, actually, yeah, you do. Like, I kind of noticed that, but I never said anything. And the same thing for me. Jake, you need to work on this. I'm like, yeah, you're absolutely right. So it's been cool seeing the Lord reveal things in each other, and then just knowing that his mission for us may be, you know, in her career and my career, but we also have a cooperative mission together, where he's going to use us for, you know, two are better than one. He's going to use us to glorify the kingdom. Understanding that we're on mission together has been huge in this marriage, because, you know, even after a year and a half, there's some days that aren't the easiest, but knowing that the Lord is good, that we love each other, and that we have a purpose as a married couple to, you know, reach out to others and, you know, get coffee and just be there for people and do life with people. It has helped grow our marriage at a rate that I didn't think was feasible, because I had a lot of immaturity that I had to work through. Being an only child, you know, kind of getting everything I kind of wanted, you know, a little bit, you know, learning to sacrifice was kind of new to me, in a way of like living day by day with somebody. So the Lord has just been so good in that though.
I love what you talk about with you guys, your purpose together and yet individually. I think that's so important to understand, and love how you and Abby really model that of, all right, we're going to sow into the relationships that we have together, but we're also going to invest for Abby with women and you with guys and the different relationships you have due to your jobs. Both of you are sowing into those different areas, but then you're making sure that you have that time together as a couple with other couples, investing in your marriage, sowing into that season and serving together. You guys made it a quick priority. I know when you left Columbus, how long did it take you from the time you left Columbus to plug into a church and start serving?
Yeah, so we did. We had a couple, you know, strikes, a couple swings and misses on some churches. That just we were seeking it very quickly, very rapidly, because we knew how important it was, right? And one church was a little slow getting back to us, so then we ended up going to a different church that was actually recommended to us. So there, we had a couple churches recommended. We ended up trying one. It was a Nix, great church, but just not what we were looking for in this season. And then we ended up finding the church that we're at currently, and it took a week. hey, we want to surf. Oh, let's go. All right. Next week's orientation. I'm like, oh, whoa. Yeah. I would say it probably took us about maybe a little over a month just because we were trying to really sew into one church and we had to change. Ab was really good at that. She's really good at like, we need to get dug in quick. We need to get roots. And I'm like, but we just got here. Let's go explore ourselves. Let's go, hike. And I'm like, she was so mature in that because seeing how God blessed us in serving together is just, again, he's so good. He has allowed us to really, put aside ourselves together to serve his kingdom and serve those around us. And it has led to us finding great relationships and really growing in our faith and becoming, the leaders that God is calling us to be.
And you guys are serving with students, right? In student ministry, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She has seventh grade girls. I got ninth grade boys. So that's fun. That's a good time. They're not boring,
And then you guys have a couples group that you host in your home.
Mm-hmm.
And just a perfect picture, I think, of putting priorities in order. You guys, again, like you said, could have said, hey, we're going to a new state. We're going to really live it up. And, again, that would have been fun and you would have had a lot of experiences, but you had the wisdom of knowing relationships really are the things that matter long term. We can go have an amazing hike and I think it's awesome that we can enjoy God's creation and we should, but sometimes we seek that so much that we miss those opportunities for things that are going to last eternally. And those relationships and the people we sow into. So, kudos to you guys for plugging in quickly and serving there at your church. So thankful for what you guys are doing and how God's using you. When you think about your journey, we talk a little bit about how God just really transformed your life. What are some of the struggles you've had to walk through along the way? Because the reality of it is, the good work you started in us, he is going to complete, but it's a journey. And one of the things we often talk about at the Redeemed is like, we've got to be real and we've got to be honest about the things that we're facing with one another, because at the end of the day, we're not going to get better if we're keeping it in the dark. Yeah. And so talk a little bit about the struggles that you faced as a young man and the areas that the enemy has sought to deceive or distract you.
Yeah. So I think for me, obviously, the biggest one that I've kind of faced my whole life that was always there, but I didn't realize how big of an issue it was the self-doubt.
Yeah.
For me, that's been huge, And when I was little or, doing sports and stuff, I was always like grilling myself. My mom has always said I'm my own worst critic. And I really was, but I thought that was just because I was competitive. I didn't really see how that was necessarily a bad thing. However, I've noticed that through my walk with the Lord, that self-doubt has really kept me from accomplishing a lot of, I think, what God had planned for me and delaying it. And with that self-doubt came lack of confidence, lack of purpose, and these other areas in my life that were then dropping, insecurities that were coming up. Like I was just insecure. So I went to the gym all the time. And really what that showed in me was I didn't understand or know who God was calling me to be. I didn't understand or know his purpose for me. And that was just huge. Like I would find that because of my lack of confidence, in my teenager years, my lack of confidence, my lack of, purpose. Like I was making idols out of everything. I was trying to find that thing that was going to give me that spark when in reality, the spark was Jesus and he was pursuing me. That was a huge struggle for me. And like just that lack of confidence in who God was and the things that he could do really led me down a dark place of like, I didn't want to pray because I didn't think God was going to answer my prayers. Yeah. I didn't want to read the Bible because I didn't see a point in it. I thought maybe some of it was, not for me. But I think that really started to turn, not necessarily like right in that moment, because I still struggle with that. Like in doses, like when the enemy knows that he can hit me and my confidence all the time. And it's just little things, you know. I'm not in the gym, I'm not running, you know, I'm not the best at my job right now. I'm struggling in this, and this. So he just goes for those weak spots, and he knows how to hit them because he always has.
But one of the things you've done,
honestly, where that's
one of the things you've done is put those relationships in your life that can encourage you and help call those things out when you're getting in those places. I've watched that, and I know that that's true for you, is surrounding yourself with other people who speak truth to you. Because I think one of the things is we know it in our head a lot of times, but we need somebody else on those dark days to help share that to us. And I know that's something you put into practice. Jake, when you think about what God's doing in your life right now, what's a scripture that it's been special in your heart, maybe even today, this week, that you've been clinging to?
That's a good one. For me, I think in this season of my life, that it was the scripture that I quoted earlier, you know, he who starts a good work in you will bring it to completion, knowing that the Lord is actively working in my life. Yeah. And he knows what he started in me with those little moments that I've forgotten about, but he reminds me constantly, like, I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you. And that has been huge, that scripture, just because it has really allowed me to try to step into that role. God felt, you know, those little inklings of God's calling you to a certain area, like even leading the Redeemed, like, I knew I wanted to do it, but I wasn't the confidence, right? But the Lord went before me and he put this purpose in me. And so stepping into that, knowing that if God is calling, if the Spirit is calling me to do this, I will absolutely 100% do it now, not holding back. Because from what I realized, and I'll share a quick story that kind of impacted how I see my confidence, my purpose, is in high school, I was in a thing called like mock trial, which is like where you dress up as a little lawyer and you go do a case and you do all that fun stuff. But so we practiced every day for about 4 months-ish around. And there was this girl who I had known for a while. We were friends in middle school and all that. And I remember we had just finished a competition and we were in the back of the bus going home, and my friends called me back. It was a group of them, because I was like probably falling asleep towards the front of the bus or something. And they called me back. They're like, yeah, you're a Christian. Like, why do you believe in Jesus? And in that moment, I was insecure and I didn't have the confidence to say, because he changed my life, because I love him so much. And I'm not perfect, but I'm pursuing him because he is perfect. And I want to be more like him every day. I didn't say that. I said, well, I go to church Sundays. That's what I said. And she was a part of that group back there. And you could just tell, like, there was a bit of sadness on some of the people's faces, because I feel like they wanted me to, they were maybe missing something and maybe God was trying to move. Well, the next day I was at a basketball game and I got a phone call, like, by family friends. Hey, where are you at? Are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. What's up? They're like, there was a car accident towards, you know, a town, the next town over. We know you go on that road a lot. I was like, no, I'm okay. I'm okay. Like, is everyone okay? And they're like, no. Conversation ended. Come to find out, that girl that I spent all that time with and had a chance to really tell about how Jesus is changing my life ended up passing away in a car accident that day. The day after that conversation, the very next day. And that kind of has, I feel like the enemy has tried to shame me from that scenario, but God is trying to use that, because obviously a lot of people see that as a strike, you know, a missed opportunity that was really, it's really impactful. But the Lord is also showing me that, see, there is purpose in the most simplest conversations. Be confident. Be confident in me, because I will give you that purpose. I will give you what you need in that certain moment. So that's just really, the enemy has tried to poke holes in that. And the Lord has been so good in providing purpose, whether it's through my mentors, especially my mentors who have been so uplifting, including yourself and a fellow mentor out here as well.
Well, Jake, you really do have a passion for the Lord, and I know that, and I've experienced that. I've seen that. Jake, you mentioned just kind of what's happening in your life, and I know there's a lot of things taking place, and it doesn't even have to be spiritual, but share with me something you're excited about right now in your life, whether it's a trip that's coming up or a season, or just something you believe God's working on in you.
Yeah, I believe that I'm really excited right now for not maybe this immediate season, but the season probably that I'll be walking into next year, where I'll be starting hopefully the progression of transitioning out of my current profession into a new profession.
Yeah.
I'm just excited for that just because the profession of that I'm in now is very important to me, but I believe God has called me into a ministry role. And I feel like this next season, whenever I'm able to make that transition, that will be open to me in some capacity. And I'm just excited for that because I've wanted to do that. Honestly, I've had inklings and callings since I was probably like 16 to 18 years old, through whether it was like being able to speak at the youth group or whatever, just little things, missions trips. But I'm so excited for that because I have often told myself that in this season that has lasted around 8 years, like total, that I'm currently in the wilderness, if you will, you know, like God is preparing me through this season to be who I need to be in order to take the next step.
Yeah.
And I'm just excited for that because God is just moving all around Abby and I here. So I'm also just excited for, you know, next year to be able to go on more trips in Colorado when it's a little nicer out, you know, climb more mountains. Abby's excited to ski. Personally, I'm not a big skier, but, you know, I'm happy and excited for her too. Just really excited to see what God is going to do in our lives, maybe through this transition, and how he can bring us to closer together and create new experiences for us is definitely an exciting, exciting period that I'm looking forward to.
Jake, cannot wait to see what God does in this next season of your life. I want to encourage you. He is using you so much now in this season and where you are, as you know, but I'm so thankful for your faithfulness and I'm excited about what God has in store. One of the things that Jake mentioned is just talking about leading groups. And if you're not plugged into a men's group, we encourage you to find one. That is what the Redeemed is all about. We know that some of you may have that in your home church, but some of you may not have the opportunity due to when those groups are offered or your schedule. And so our goal and heartbeat for the Redeemed is to be able to have groups both online and in person, wherever we can get guys to serve and make it available. Our groups are all built around relationships. So just like you did Purpose-Driven Life today, excuse me, I had a group around Atomic Habits, which is a secular book. We're talking through that book. It's all about habits, and it's really good to build into our spiritual man. But one of the things we're so often doing is just saying, hey, this is what's going on in my life. Just as you shared about the struggle with self-confidence, we're encouraging men to go, hey, this is what I'm walking through right now, and encouraging each other, equipping each other, helping each other, because we are better together and we need those relationships. As guys, oftentimes we're trying to hide and handle it on our own, and we're falling all over the place when we do that. And so as Redeemed groups, we want to provide that safe, supportive community where there really isn't any shame or judgment. We're going to push you toward Jesus. We're going to push you toward being vulnerable in relationship. And if you're looking or interested in serving as a group leader, talk to myself. I can connect you to Jake. He can tell you what it's like leading, but we would love to have you leading. You may be already leading a group in your church, but have some more time to lead a men's group. We really see that there are so many guys across our country who are looking for community. And oftentimes in the past, we may have went to a friend or an encyclopedia, and now everybody goes to Google for every question. And part of that is connecting them in online groups as well. So if you're interested in leading a group, please reach out to us, or if you want to get plugged in, and don't hesitate. As Jake shared, you know, it's one of those things, you just got to take the step if God's prompting you to do it. So we encourage you to get plugged in a group. Jake, thanks so much for being on the show. Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for how you've ministered to other men and how you've served in leading groups. And I know there's some more groups ahead for you in leading. And you guys keep an eye on our emails and website so that you know when Jake's leading a group, if you want to be able to jump into one of his. Again, thanks so much for being a part of today's conversation. We love you and appreciate you.
Yeah, it was awesome. Thank you for the opportunity. I was super stoked.
God bless. We want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Redeemed Man Podcast. We hope you come away with this episode feeling energized and better equipped to face life's challenges. If today's message resonated with you, I invite you to go wherever you're listening to this episode and leave us a comment or a review. Tell us what you enjoyed in this episode, or better yet, tell us what topics you want to hear more of in the future. Above all, we hope you remember that no matter how broken you feel, God's love is for everyone and hope is within reach.